Imagine being 16, sipping wine at a Roman cafe, when a stranger reveals he's your intended husband, chosen years ago through a family arrangement you never consented to. This is precisely what happens to Rhea Ritchie when she meets Crew Monty, heir to one of Italy's most notorious crime families. His words cut through the warm afternoon air like ice. If she isn't married by 34, he'll claim what he considers his birthright. When she challenges him, his response carries chilling conviction. That would be bad for your husband. Words that haunt her dreams for years. 14 years later, Rhea has built an impressive career as a criminal defense attorney in New York, far from her family's suffocating expectations. But on her 30th birthday, as she celebrates with colleagues, her carefully constructed walls crumble when Crew appears like a specter from her past. Without hesitation, he draws a gun and executes her boss, a message written in blood that her time of freedom is ending. Despite years of martial arts training, Rhea discovers that physical prowess means little against the overwhelming force of family obligations and blood-sworn contracts that have bound their fates together since before she could understand their meaning. Crew Monty embodies contradiction, a ruthless killer with fierce capacity for devotion. Raised in criminal royalty, he learned weapons at 6 and psychological warfare by 15. His father forced his first kill at 12, executing a beloved bodyguard. By 20, Crew murdered his father, torturing him in the same room where his own innocence died. What fascinates is how Crew's brutality coexists with his devotion to Rhea. He threatens her loved ones and manipulates circumstances to force her compliance, yet shows her vulnerability no one else sees. When his brother suggests more advantageous matches, Crew remains resolute. I know it could be anyone else, but it has always been her. Crew's obsession manifests in surveillance photos spanning years and knowing every detail. Her favorite coffee shop, jogging route, even her childhood pet's name. This attention makes him both an effective predator and, paradoxically, someone who understands her profoundly. Their chemistry is explosive from their first reunion. Despite her determination to resist, Rhea finds herself drawn to Crew's dangerous allure. Their relationship follows a push-pull dynamic. She defies him, yet cannot deny their powerful attraction. When Crew orders food she dislikes, Rhea deliberately challenges him by refusing to eat. After discovering her friend's betrayal, she storms out, only to be confronted by Crew demanding marriage. In desperation, she bites his cheek hard enough to draw blood, which seems to excite rather than anger him. This pattern defines their relationship. Rhea tests boundaries by arriving late, dating others, and refusing his claim. Each defiance triggers escalating possessiveness from Crew, who eliminates any man showing interest in her. Their sexual encounters are equally combative and passionate. When Rhea impulsively fires Crew's gun, he's aroused by her boldness. They end up having intense sex on his dining table, with knocked-over candles starting a fire and sprinklers activating while she holds his knife to his throat. Both Rhea and Crew masterfully wield their respective forms of power. As a defense attorney, Rhea manipulates truth in courtrooms similar to how her mother manipulated people. We're both calculators, Rhea reflects. She calculates people to get what she wants, and I calculate the truth in courtrooms to defend my clients. Rhea's success stems from reading juries like chess pieces and crafting narratives that blur lines between victim and perpetrator. Her exceptional record earns both admiration and resentment from colleagues who whisper she's too good at defending the indefensible. Crew's power is more direct but equally calculated. He eliminates obstacles, forms strategic alliances, and transforms threats into opportunities, like converting an assassination attempt into control of a rival family's operations. Their relationship creates a dangerous dance of attraction and resistance. When Crew kills a man Rhea was dating, she's horrified, yet responds to his forceful kiss moments later, raising questions about agency and consent when Crew eliminates all other options. Throughout her life, Rhea has defined herself by what she runs from. At 16, she fled Italy to escape an arranged marriage. In New York, she built a life separate from her family's criminal enterprises. When Crew re-enters her life, she instinctively runs, changing hotels, ignoring messages, and avoiding encounters. This pattern extends to her identity. Despite working as a criminal defense attorney representing clients like the Teresi family, Rhea maintains the illusion she's escaped her criminal heritage. When her friend remarks, "You're a criminal defense lawyer. You haven't strayed far from our world," Rhea must confront that she's never truly escaped, just found a more acceptable way to engage with it. When Crew arranges their wedding without consent and she shoots him to escape, it marks a turning point. Rhea finally examines her motivations. "I've been blaming Crew for everything, but didn't I participate too? I never run from anything in the courtroom, so why is it different with Crew?" Crew and Rhea present different faces to the world than they show each other. The ruthless crime lord only reveals vulnerability with Rhea, while she projects cool competence publicly, claiming their relationship is just sex, lies she tells herself as much as others. These masks become harder to maintain as their relationship deepens. At an engagement party for Crew and Rhea's sister, whom Crew agrees to marry after Rhea's rejection, their true feelings surface. Crew can't look away from Rhea despite standing beside his fiancé, while Rhea battles unexpected jealousy. In a pivotal library scene, their masks finally slip. When Rhea coldly asks if he slept with her sister, Crew responds with brutal honesty, "You're the only one I think about." Rhea's unexpected tears mark a turning point. Their hidden vulnerability becomes the bridge that ultimately connects them. The story climaxes when Rhea retreats to her family's lake house, unable to attend Crew's wedding to her sister. When he finds her and declares, "You're the one I want," they finally surrender to their feelings. "I love him, and I hate him too," Rhea acknowledges. Their mutual "I love you" marks acceptance of their complex dynamic. What makes this ending compelling is that neither character fundamentally changes. Rather than transforming, they negotiate terms honoring their essential natures. This negotiation becomes literal when Rhea drafts a contract after accepting his proposal. She'll take his name, but threatens consequences if betrayed. She refuses to promise children and insists on keeping her apartment as refuge when he becomes too authoritarian. Crew accepts most terms while maintaining his identity, promising she'll be revered as his queen, but warning his protective violence remains. Their wedding represents mutual acceptance of darkness. As Rhea walks down the aisle, Crew whispers, "Ready to give me your lethal vows, wife?" acknowledging their union is sealed with both love and potential destruction.